Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter number 4. Last week we focused on verse number 13. I can, everybody say, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again under my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, and I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well pleasing to God. Let the church say amen. Our Father, we pray you add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin. Empty me of self. And fill me with your spirit. We love you. Thank you for being God. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. We've worked our way through this letter written by the Apostle Paul, church planner, written back to Philippi, the local church. By the way, let me say tonight, and we all ought to be in agreement with this, thank God for the local church. I'm talking about the visible assembly of baptized believers congregated together for a reason. Reason number one, to bring God glory. And reason number two, to evangelize the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have a message that the world needs to hear, and we have been assigned to give that message. I don't know about you, I'm glad that on a Sunday night at about 6:48 p.m. that I can be in a place that's not an organization, but an organism that is alive and well. Listen to what Jesus said, the gates of hell shall never prevail against it. I'm glad I'm a part of the church. So Paul is writing back to this church, dear to his heart. When he had planted, he had spent time there, Acts chapter 16, it grew out of diverse individuals. Lydia, seller of purple, she got in on it. That damsel in distress, selling her body, making money off of it, she got in on it. Paul and Silas got thrown into prison because of preaching the gospel. That jailer got saved. He and his house got in on it. Aren't you glad that the church is made up of all kinds of people from all walks of life that are from all different places, but we come in through the same door, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he's writing back to this letter, this church with this letter, and he's in jail again for doing right. And he picks up his pen and writes a letter on what subject? Talk to him. Joy. Joy from jail. Come on. I mean, Paul's got joy from jail. You ought to have joy from where you're at. Joy from jail. And here he says, joy. It's a God thing. It's something that you don't get from man. It's something that you don't get manufactured. It is a God thing. So we've learned through the book of Philippians and this letter from Paul that joy comes from a single mind focused on the gospel. Chapter 2, joy comes from a submissive mind. It can't be my way, it's got to be God's way. And the greatest demonstration of submissiveness was the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the way, was God when he left heaven. He was God when he came to earth. He was God when he died. He was God when he rose again. He is God seated at the right hand of the throne of God, and he's coming back. He will be God then. But he submitted himself and was willing to put his way aside for the joy set before him on the cross. And because of his submissiveness, we're saved. So joy comes from a single mind. Joy comes from a submissive mind. Joy, number three, comes from a spiritual mind. You can't be carnal and have joy. Amen. Now, you can be carnal and be happy, but it won't last. You can't be carnal and have joy. Joy is something that's produced from the Spirit of God, and it's produced from the Spirit of God in my spirit. When I yield my spirit to the Spirit of God, God produces joy. And by the way, because it's produced from the inside out, nothing on the outside should be able to steal our joy. We're living in a society that is selling wholesale misery more than we can handle, but I'm glad my joy is not based on the White House. It's not based on my money. It's not based on my health. It's based on my Savior. Amen. So it's a spiritual mind. And then lastly, chapter number four, a secure mind. A secure mind. Joy is based on a secure mind. Now, if your mind is insecure, forget about joy. So we spent several weeks dealing with the power of correct thinking. I mean, does what happens in my mind really matter? I mean, as long as you don't act it out, it doesn't matter if you think it out. Who told you that? Whatsoever man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Colossians chapter 3, set your affections on things which are above heaven, not on earth. Seek those things which are above. If ye then be risen with Christ, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but being transformed in the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Listen to me, the battleground for the devil is always in your mind. And if your mind is not secure, you will not have joy. So the power of correct thinking. And then we stepped into this section of the power of consistent thanksgiving. It's hard to have a bad attitude being thankful. Somebody say amen. We are some thankless people. Spoiled. I mean, we Americans are spoiled. Come on, say amen. We're so blessed, we're used to it. We're so blessed, we're entitled. Come on now, we're so used to getting what we want, we won't accept what we need. And Paul said, you want to have joy? You want to truly experience the wonders of having a secure mind? You engage in consistent thanksgiving. I asked you now it's only a little bit more than 5 hours left in this day. Did you spend time thanking God for anything today? When you got up this morning, did you think your alarm clock woke you up? You think God woke you up? Amen. When you woke up in that house, did you look up and say, God put that there? Amen. When you woke up with your health and strength and in your right mind, did you thank God that God was the one that blessed you with that? By the way, tonight we're sitting in the United States of America where what we're doing, by the way, we're not in some underground church in China. We're right here wide open in the middle of the daylight. We're not sneaking in church. We walk up in here with no shame because we're in a country where we can rightfully worship God without being punished. Did you thank God that you're in America tonight and you can worship God freely? How about this? Overnight, a lot of things happen. I'm talking about a lot of things happen overnight. But did you thank God this morning, or did you thank God any time today that from the time you lay your head down last night until the time you put your feet down on the floor this morning, that even though a lot of things happen, and by the way, Ephesians chapter 6 tells us we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against spiritual wickedness, against the rulers of this world. Do you realize the devil wants you? He wants to destroy you. Do you realize that there's a spiritual battle that's going on right in here tonight that we can't see, and they're battling over influence? And they're battling over the souls of man. But aren't you glad that somehow overnight, with a devil that's running loose and demons that are off the hook, that you went to bed saved and you woke up saved? Not because of anything you did. You were knocked out. You couldn't have kept your salvation in your sleep if you wanted to. But God kept you by his power, and you went to bed saved and woke up saved, and you're going to get to heaven saved. That's a God thing. Now, you can't get saved more than once. I hope you said amen. You can't get saved more than once. Some days I'd like to. I mean, I get so happy in Jesus, I'd like to get saved again. I was preaching over somewhere recently, and Antonio, and wasn't that you, Antonio? Antonio, was. I was over at Bethesda Baptist. How long have you been saved? Since like December. Y'all know that now we're just about in May, right? Count January, February, March, April, 4 months. I finished preaching over there at Bethesda. By the way, he came Thursday night and came Friday morning. He came up to me so happy. He said, Pastor, well, if I could, I'd get saved again. Am I lying? Didn't you say that? Well, he was feeling good. Hey, listen to me. I like that. I like that. Hey, listen to me. I'm glad I don't have to get saved again. Now listen to me, you only have to get saved once and you can't lose your salvation. But it is possible to have an unchanging, secure salvation that you cannot lose. But your mind is not messed up because you lost your salvation. Your mind is messed up because the salvation you can't lose, you're not thankful for. Amen. I think I have my salvation. Don't say it like that. Say it like you mean it. Say it like going to hell is not pleasant. And I'm not going. If you're saved, neither are you. So he's dealing with this thanksgiving, his grateful condition. I stirred up myself, he said. I got happy in the Lord. I didn't need anybody to help me. I got happy on my own. Verse 10, I rejoiced in the Lord. I rejoiced in the Lord. You don't need anybody to stir you up about God. You can get your own self stirred up. I rejoiced in the Lord. I threw my own party. I didn't need somebody to tell me to get happy in the Lord. I was there when he did something for me. I've been there when he blessed me. I've been there when he's been good. You don't need anybody to tell you to get happy in Jesus. You know what he's done for you. Stir up your own self. My grateful condition, my godly contentment. I'm fine. I'm satisfied. Why, Paul? Because I learned some things. Have you? The word learn there means to come to learn so well that it changes the way you live. Oh, I'm content. Listen. Don't mind me. Have you ever heard anybody tell you that? Oh, don't mind me. Don't pay attention to me. You don't have to worry. Act like I'm not here. And then after 10 minutes, after they've told you 8 things that they want you to change, you about tell them, would you be quiet? Now, you're not content. Now, here's the problem. We have learned how to profess things in our Christian life. And even though we profess them, sometimes we don't possess them. So we go around stating these sound bites. I've just learned to be content, complaining all the time. You can't be a complainer and content. You got to pick one. Come on. Now, how many things you complain about today? How many things you complain? Now listen. These seniors? Are y'all seniors? No. Not quite. Juniors. Seniors back there. Seniors. They all looking at me like, I don't know if you're talking about seniors in school, senior citizens. And you know when the preacher asks questions, you're scared to answer and you're scared not to answer. Raise your hand if you don't know. Shall I put my hand up? So seniors. Seniors. Okay. How many of you? 6. Okay. Senior trip. Washington, D.C. Nation's capital. What a blessing. I mean, not all kids can go on a senior trip to nation's capital. You're blessed. Now somebody paid some money for you to come. Maybe you raised the money, but your parents put you in school. I hope you didn't get a nice trip in Northern Virginia, Washington, D.C., and not realize how blessed you are to have it and complain all week. Now, some of you are excited because I'm picking on them seniors. They're just examples of all of us, if they did that. We can be so guilty of being complainers. You know why? We haven't learned how to be content. I have learned. It didn't come natural. It didn't come automatic. I didn't come out the womb having learned this, but I've learned whichever state I'm in, therewith to be content. I've gone through some spiritual learning. I've learned some serious lessons about abased burdens and abounding blessings. I've learned how to be up. I've learned how to be down. I've learned how to be everywhere in between. I've learned how to be full. I've learned how to be hungry. I've learned how to have things go well, and I've learned how to suffer. But I've learned through it all. I'm okay because God's in control. Godly contentment. Number three, that contentment ushers in a glorious confidence. I can. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I mean, listen, here's what Paul says. Well, because I've committed my life to Christ. There's nothing he wants me to do that I can't do. Now, there's a whole lot of stuff you want to do you can't do. Huh? And people look at this verse and go, I hear it, I see it, but I don't understand. And by the way, let's not forget that Paul said, I can. He didn't say you can. You quit quoting Paul's verse. Well, what's wrong with it? It's in the Bible. Well, you can't just pick 13. If you want to quote his verse, then start living like I'm in 11. Amen. For you're talking about I can do anything through Christ. Not if you're not content. God's power is not on you. If you're not content. Well, I can do anything. No. I hear Christian people say all the time, I keep trying and I can't do it. I keep trying and I can't do it. I keep trying and I can't do it. Has it ever occurred to you that the stuff you're trying, you shouldn't be trying? And if you were content with what God gave you, you wouldn't be trying it at all? And the reason why you're failing is because you're discontent. And the reason why you're discontent is because your relationship is not right with God. So therefore, you're pursuing avenues and venues that are off limits for you. I've been trying to get this job. I've been trying to date this person. He ain't for you. That job been for you. If you'd be satisfied with what God gave you, you wouldn't go after that job, and you wouldn't go after that job because you'd be happy with what God gave you. So contentment must usher in confidence. I need to be content if I'm going to be confident. I can do all things through Christ. Number four, let me move. This glorious confidence brings about, if you would, Paul giving them a gracious commendation. Ye have well done. Do you like to hear that? I mean, the ultimate well done is going to be when we hear it from the Lord, right? I don't know about you. I'm trying to serve for well done. I can't. Oh my soul. To hear that one they've been singing about today. I mean, talking about that name. That name is Jesus. Oh, how I love him. He gave his life for me. Because of love, I'm going to live eternally. Praise the name of Jesus. Can you imagine looking him in the eye? Imagine him looking you in the eye and saying, well done. I want to hear it. But let's be honest. Don't you like to hear some well done's down here? I mean, choir, do you like to hear the choir director say, well done? I mean, when you sing your guts out, would you like somebody, would it be nice for somebody in the beloved to say, I enjoyed that. Good job. I mean, some people say, well, I don't need anybody to ever give me a compliment. I just do it because I love the Lord. Well, you go ahead with your already raptured self and tell your ghost he's doing a good job impersonating you, okay? Everybody likes to be complimented. So here's Paul giving a commendation. Hey, church, from prison, I want to tell you as the people of God, well done. You remember Crossroads Baptist Church? You want to hear well done? You've well done. This is a commendation from the man of God. By the way, men of God are not God. You should never worship a man. You should always worship God. You ought to respect the man of God. And I thank God for a church that respects the pastor, treats the pastor with love and respect. And I don't know about you, It feels good for somebody I respect to tell me, well done. Notwithstanding, ye have well done. Notice he says, in this wonderful commendation, notwithstanding, ye well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. He said, here's the well done for you. I had a need and you were concerned about it. Hey, how can a church hear well done? Here's how they can hear it. See somebody with a need and get concerned about it. Listen, you want to hear well done from God, thank God for your singing and thank God for your teaching and bless God for all of it. But if you want to hear well done, listen what Jesus said. You fed me when I was hungry. You gave me water when I was thirsty. You came and visited me when I was lonely. Lord, we don't remember that. In that, you have done it to the least of these. You have done it. You want a compliment from God, see somebody with a need and get concerned about it. Abandon the epidemic of self-centeredness and think about somebody else. We are living in a selfish world. Me. That's devilish. He said you had endearing concern, and your endearing concern led you to an exclusive contribution. How many of you know people that know only concern with their mouth? But never with their money. You can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. You help me, he said. You help me when no other church would. Not no other church could, no other church would. Listen, he was a church planner. He was a missionary. He was a visionary. He was doing the work that God called him to do. But he wrote from prison about a body of believers that he commended for this reason. I was doing what God called me to do, and you helped me do it. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. By the way, thank God for the missions giving of Crossroads Baptist Church. And that we're privileged here to support nearly 200 missionaries and give $380,000 a year to missions. Don't get content. But if you're not careful, you drop your missions check in the offering plate every Sunday. Or for all you millennials, you'll cash app your tithes. Oh, to the Lord. Please don't stop. Cash app. Just keep doing it. Keep doing. How many still write checks? Would you raise your hand? Praise the Lord for all the normal people in the building. And you know what you'll say? Well, I'm good. I'm Philippians chapter 4 qualified. But just because you drop a check in about 3 seconds in the offering plate on Sunday to give to missions doesn't excuse you from all of the people you passed this week with a need you did nothing about. And for all of you kids who love to say you don't have a job and can't give to missions, you got feet, hands, eyes, ears, and something that resembles a brain. So what you ought to do is find out somebody you can help, even though you can't help them with your pocketbook, you can help them with your life. Amen. You may not be able to give to missions, but around this church, there are things you can do. Amen. And around your house, there are things you can do. And around this world, there are things. Get out of yourself and go help somebody else. Paul said, well done. You help me. You help me when nobody else will. Listen, when I go back to the times in my life when I was burdened, the times in my life when I was hurting, the times in my life I was going through a trial, I soon forget the dollar amounts. I soon forget the circumstantial peripherals. You know what I remember? I remember who was there for me when nobody else was. You be that somebody. He said, your contribution was exclusive. You stood out to me, Philippi. You helped me when everybody else abandoned me. And by the way, you're going to find out who your friends are. When you get down there, listen, it is easy to be your friend when you don't need nothing. Boy, I got you. I'm telling you, put your arm around you. I mean, you ain't nobody bothering you. Ain't nobody, nobody's messing with you. And people put their arms around you. I'm telling you right now, man, I don't care. If somebody shoots at you, I'm telling you, man, I'm going to step in front of that. Of course you are. Ain't no guns there. And on July 4th, one little firecracker go off and your friend is gone before you can turn around. What happened to you, man? Man, sound like a gun. I don't play with no gun. What happened to that bullet? Oh, that was different. We're just making conversation. There's not very many people going to take a bullet for you. I'm not just talking about a real bullet. I'm talking about an emotional bullet. Paul said, you stepped up. Nobody would. Your endearing concern, your exclusive contribution, your exercised consistency. Not once. Anybody can do something once. But he says, you communicated with my affliction when no church would. Verse 16. Ye sent once and again. Now, some people are going to let you know. I'm going to help you. But you better not ever ask me again. I'm telling you right now, you sure you want to use this up? Because you're only going to get one. And if you use it up now, you don't ask me again. Have you ever wanted to ask somebody, but you didn't want to go through the humiliation of asking that person? And you mustered up enough strength and did it, and you said, I knew I shouldn't have. Paul said, I didn't even have to ask you. See, when you love people, they don't have to ask you. You see the need, and you take the lead. Once and again, I needed you before and you helped me. I needed you again and you helped me. I'm almost finished. The expressed clarification here, verse 17. Not because I desire a gift. Paul said, hold up. I am thanking you for what you did. And he's saying this humbly. He said, but I'm not thanking you because I wanted something from you. Here's what Paul's saying. He expressed this clarification because there was an extraordinary compulsion he had in his heart. He said, when I did the work of God and you gave towards me, you weren't giving towards me so that I could benefit. You were giving towards me so that you could benefit. Listen, not that I desire a gift, but that fruit may abound to your account. Here's what he's saying. Every place I went, you were a part of it because you gave to me. Every church I planted, you were a part of it because you gave to me. Every person I led to the Lord, you were a part of it because you gave to me. Every conversation I had that benefited someone's walk with God, you were a part of it because you gave to me. Every young man in the ministry that I mentored, you were a part of it because you. I don't know about you. I get a sense of fulfillment to know that when I give through the missions of Crossroads Baptist Church, the men and women that are around the globe sharing the gospel with the Lord Jesus Christ, I may never get to Africa. I may never get to Czechoslovakia. I may never get to Ghana. I may never get to Spain. I may never get to Peru. I may never get to Nigeria. But if I give to the work of God, every time somebody gets saved, it's fruit to my account. And let me say this to you, to the members of Crossroads Baptist Church. Every single place your pastor preaches, fruit to your account. Yeah. Two nights ago, when a 70-year-old man walked out and trusted Christ as his Savior at a youth rally, guess who was in on the blessing? Crossroads Baptist Church. And the night before, when young people gathered in that building and committed to live for God, guess who was in it? Crossroads Baptist Church. In every place I've been able to be, in every young person I've been able to mentor, in every fatherless boy that I've been able to help parent, every life that I've been able to touch, I wouldn't be able to do it unless there were men, women, and boys and girls that sit at Crossroads Baptist Church, 5811 Huffman's Lane, Bayless, Crossroads, Virginia, 22041, that may never get on a plane, may never climb into my suitcase, may never walk into that church out of town, but you'll get on your knees and pray for your pastor and love on your pastor and tithe and give give and serve in every place I go. Hang in there, beloved. You go with me. No wonder. No wonder he was so full of joy. Saying, church, good job. Good job. Because what you did for me, you did for God. If we would start looking at the work of God like the work of God, we wouldn't be so mad we had to do it. Oh, here we go. I got to go there and say, wait a minute. The people aren't the only people benefiting when you sing. You benefit when you sing. We're going to get there one day, and the well done from people is going to pale in comparison to the well done from Jesus. But I think there's going to be a part of us that wants to retroact our Christianity. And part of us is going to, now we're not going to want to come back down here, because once we get up there, I said, Pastor Mike, when you died for 26 and a half minutes and your heart stopped pumping blood and they were pumping you, and you were gone for 26 and a half minutes and we were praying God brought you back, and by the grace of God, God did bring them back, amen. I said, did you see lights? Did you see Jesus? Did you see? I said, are you kidding me? If I saw Jesus, you'd think I'd have come back? He said, I don't know what all them people are talking about, but they must be lying. I'm not coming. Y'all will miss me, but I won't miss here. We're going to get there. We're not going to want to come back there. But don't you think part of us, the Bible says he shall wipe away our tears. Don't you think part of us is going to go, well, I sure would have sung harder if I knew I'd see you up here telling me about how blessed you were by my singing. Somebody's going to run up to you in heaven and say, well, you helped my heart get ready for preaching. Listen. I'm here today because somebody you picked up on your bus route, surrendered to preach, started a church in my town, and I got saved, and I was waiting to find you in heaven to tell you thank you, and your retroactive juices are going to go. I'd like to go back to Saturday afternoon and go on bus visitation with a better attitude. I'd like to sit in choir rehearsal with a better attitude after listening to you in heaven tell me how many heavy burdens our singing lifted off your back. Don't wait till you get to heaven to want to go back and do it right. Think about being in heaven now and do right now. Good job, church. Here it goes. Good job. You helped me do what God called me to do. Not just your pastor, anybody. A good friend will help his friend do what God's called him to do. And a bad friend will try to stop him. Say amen. Yeah. How many friends you have that you have discovered what God wants them to do, and you've committed that your friendship with them will be characterized as such. Whatever God wants you to do, I'm going to be your friend and help you do it. Shame on you if you find out a friend trying to do right and you over there talking, why are you doing that? Why are you going to church? Why are you dressing right? Why are you giving so much? Girl, you don't need to get so involved. You need to go on somewhere. You better find out who wants to live for God. And if you don't want to help them live for God, you go be friends with somebody else that doesn't want to live for God like you don't want to. But for heaven's sake, if you love somebody, find out what God has called him to do, called her to do, and you get behind them and help them live for God. And I promise you, your helping them live for God will help you live for God too. Father, thank you. We love you and bless your name for being such a wonderful God. Touch our lives. Help us to be better Christians for you. In Jesus' name, amen.